Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Good to join you again on this Thursday afternoon. I'm coming to you on September the 3rd. We are in the midst of our player review series yesterday. We talked about Gorgui Dieng, Josh Jackson, John Concher, and Marko Gudurić. Dived into their seasons. How did they do? What does it mean? And we're going to do the same thing with three other players today. Of course, you can follow me at StatsSAC on Twitter. You can follow the show at Locked On Grizz, and you can follow the podcast anywhere podcasts are available. Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to your podcast. We ask that you do listen, subscribe, enjoy it, review. Also, reach out to us with content. We always want to make sure that what we are providing on the show as far as content goes is relevant to our listeners' preferences. Before we get started on today's show, do want to remind you of our title sponsor, RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com today. So we looked at the back of the Grizzlies bench, looked at some players who, in general, a few of them, probably three of the four of them, there's a good chance they may be back with the Grizzlies next year. However, all in all, besides John Concher, perhaps, the other three that we mentioned, don't really know about their future with the Grizzlies beyond this offseason into next year. But now we're going to get into some players who, it's going to be very interesting to see, how their play this year determines what roles they'll have with the Grizzlies going forward. And one person we're going to start with is Anthony Tolliver. Now, when you look at the Grizzlies roster and you determine, based off when players were acquired, Anthony Tolliver probably jumps out as the most unlikely player to return next season. And I can agree with that. I think that there is likely going to be, it's more likely than not that he will not return. But that doesn't mean that he did not provide excellent value to the Grizzlies. So obviously Anthony Tolliver was signed to a 10-day contract before the suspension of the season. Once the suspension occurred, that 10-day contract expired. It was interesting to see kind of how the Grizzlies would, use Tolliver from that point on. Well, they decided during the suspension, during the early summer, they decided to bring Tolliver back for the rest of the season. Now, at that time, it was to fill out the roster. It was not, expected. They were expecting to have a full roster. They were getting Jaren and Brandon and Justice back. They did not expect for there to be injuries, but of course there were. And that's mainly where Tolliver's, contributions was in the bubble. During the season, he did not get that much play, but there were other reasons why the Grizzlies, number one, signed him to a contract to begin with, and then signed him for the rest of the season during the early parts of the summer. We'll get into that in just a second. But in terms of what Tolliver did on the court, he basically continued to provide the same type of value that he always has. A reserve big who mainly offered good opportunities. He offered spacing. He offered a good outlet for catch and shoot three-pointers as he has, his entire career. This season with the Grizzlies, he played in 13 games, averaged 18.2 minutes per game, started four of them. Overall, he averaged 4.8 points. He averaged a 2.5 rebounds. Did not average more than one in any other statistical category per game. So a big part of his contributions were as a secondary rebounder and spot-up three-point shooter for the Grizzlies. But the thing about it is that in and of itself has value in Taylor Jenkins' system. Jenkins wants to go with the space and pace and space philosophy. And as we've seen with Jaren Jackson Jr., that's a part of his game that's continuing to evolve. And it's a part of his game that at such a young age for a player his size, it has evolved quite well. Well, Tolliver offered a secondary version of that as the Grizzlies were going through their training camp in the bubble and things such as that. So the interesting thing with Tolliver is we mentioned Gorgui Dieng yesterday. As this training camp before the bubble went on, it was anticipated that Gorgui Dieng would be the fourth big off the bench and that Tolliver would be there to serve in, either garbage time minutes or maybe 10 minutes or so a game, just to relieve, the secondary bench players and the starters. Well, when the injuries occurred to Justice Winslow and Tyus Jones, Gorgui Dieng and Josh Jackson were viewed to be two people who had contributed before the suspension of the season back in February and March. They were looked at as having bigger roles as front court support. Well, that wound up not being the case. It was actually Tolliver who stepped in, and the reason why was because with the Grizzlies losing the talent that they had, they were going to have to find sources of scoring. Tolliver's ability to shoot from the three, shoot especially from the corner three, was going to be a big need for the Grizzlies. As a matter of fact, over the past, basically throughout Tolliver's career, he has been, every single season, he has been, except two, he has been in the 95 percentile or higher of players at his position at the 4-5 when it comes to the frequency of his shot shooting from three. Nearly over the past, basically, 6 to 7 years, nearly three-fourths of Tolliver's shots have come from three, and that was a needed element to the Grizzlies bench to start off the bubble. Well, then, of course, the injury happened to Jaren Jackson Jr. So while the Grizzlies did not have anybody who came close to replicating what Jackson Jr. can offer, Tolliver was the one who stepped in. They tried to go with Brandon Clark in the starting lineup against the Jazz. It didn't make sense. Clark is a lot less effective in the starting lineup than he was in the secondary unit. So Taylor Jenkins made the adjustment to put Anthony Tolliver in there. Tolliver, in no way, shape, or form, again, was like Jaren Jackson, but he at least offered a shooting outlet. And we saw how important he was. He didn't play a big role. He wasn't that significant. But several of the, as the Grizzlies started playing better over the last four or five games in the bubble, a big reason why was because of Tolliver's shooting in those spurts in the second or third quarter. He would go through a 4 or 5 minute stretch where he would make a couple of threes and get the Grizzlies back in the game. So he did his job as a supporting piece in the starting lineup to help the Grizzlies be able to have some sort of remnants when it came to their three-point shooting. When he was in the starting lineup, the Grizzlies became a more consistent three-point shooting team, as was expected with how much Tolliver shot from three. Now that we're at the end of the season, you know, Tolliver is again a free agent. And as I stated, based off how he came to the roster, you know, a 10-day contract and signed through the rest of the year, I certainly could see the Grizzlies going another route. He may not be that valuable as far as an option goes going forward. But I also could see him potentially working out because one of the big reasons why Taylor Jenkins in the front office targeted him as an addition to the roster before the season was suspended because he's the type of player Taylor Jenkins is looking for. We saw it as the season was going along. Taylor Jenkins was looking more for options that he was wanting to go with smaller lineups so that he could push the pace and shoot from three. Tolliver is a front court option that can do that. He also likely offered support to Jaren Jackson Jr. I don't think it's any coincidence that with Anthony Tolliver being involved in the bubble, in that training camp that happened before the bubble, I feel that he truly was kind of a secondary player coach for a lot of the Grizzlies' younger players, especially Jaren Jackson Jr., in terms of, you know, helping Jackson Jr. continue with the nuances of moving off the ball, being open for catch-and-shoot opportunities, decision-making, and things like that. Because in general, while Jaren Jackson Jr. has a far higher ceiling, there are similar elements to him in Tolliver's game. And the other part of Anthony Tolliver that I think adds value and a reason why the Grizzlies, I feel, put a preference on getting him signed for the end of the season to be with the Grizzlies in the bubble is the veteran presence. I feel, again, like I said, I don't really, player coach may not be the best way to describe it, but I do think he is kind of a mentor, a veteran presence there for this young team who really knows how to contribute to a culture. He's involved in the community. He's aware of what's going on around social issues and things such as that. And also, you could see the young players really, really gravitate towards him in some of the media sessions. So, Anthony Tolliver, I think, also offered significant value off the court. At the end of the day, Anthony Tolliver is going to be 35 going into next season. He's going to be an end-of-the-bench option. In terms of where he would be in the rotation, the Grizzlies probably where they are on the competitive in terms of being competitive, where they are in their rebuild, they probably want to put a developmental piece in place instead of Tolliver. So again, I think it's unlikely Tolliver returns, but I do think that he may be an option because of how important he was to this Grizzlies core off the court. He added a lot of positive value, though it may not have been in the numbers. He definitely was an asset to Coach Jenkins and the coaching staff this season. What we're going to do is take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue on with our player review series here on Locked on Grizzlies. With autumn right around the corner, you probably have a lot of things going on. As things start to open up, school's back in session, just needing to be on the go more often than not. And so it's the least opportune time for car repairs to be a problem. Well, of course, as we all know, that's likely what's going to occur. And if you're someone like me who doesn't really know a lot about cars, I need someone to do the repairs for me. However, I do know a place where I can go and find car parts, and that's rockauto.com. For a variety of really good reasons. For one, it's very easy to use. With a few clicks of the button, you will get what you need, and it's likely going to have what you need in terms of the parts and the make and model that you have. It's also, no matter what your expertise level is, it's a great source for you to use to do your own repairs, or if you need to have someone else do the repairs, and it's very cost effective. It's a family-owned business. These folks know that car repairs need to be priced to where you can afford them. If you go to rockauto.com right now, let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. Rockauto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. Moving on with our player review series for the Grizzlies, the next gentleman up was a piece that was going to be a very interesting fit in Taylor Jenkins' system, and that, of course, is Kyle Anderson. Kyle Anderson is one of the few players, along with Dylan Brooks and others, who came over from the older regime. He was signed 2 years ago. Obviously, when the grit and grind era was starting out, you know, when they drafted Jaren Jackson and Javon Carter before the 2018-2019 season, the Grizzlies were promoting, trying to get the grit and grind, defensive-focused mentality back. And so along with that, the other big signing that they had was Kyle Anderson. And this season, Kyle Anderson continued to show the things that he is good at. A highly intelligent player who offers significant playmaking ability, plus also good defensive potential. As I mentioned yesterday, he and Josh Jackson are in a very exclusive club when it comes to their ability to create plays on defense, both with steals and blocks, and Kyle Anderson continued to show that this season. Kyle Anderson also was tasked with helping the offense be able to run smoothly. This Grizzlies team coming into this season was a team that was not that efficient. It didn't have a lot of shooting talent. As a matter of fact, when you looked up and down the roster, it probably was one of the NBA rosters with the least amount of shooting talent coming into the season. So Kyle Anderson, along with Ja Morant and Tyus Jones, was going to be looked at as a potential playmaker, and again, Kyle Anderson showed that ability. On the season, Kyle Anderson played 67 games. He started 28, so he was a good, especially late January into February, before the Grizzlies got their, when they lost Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr., Kyle Anderson, because he could play, four in a pinch, he could play the small four position as well, he did get some starts, and he also started in the bubble. Of course, so he's played 67 games, started 28. This season, he averaged himself 5.8 points per game. He averaged 2.4 assists and 4.3 rebounds per game. The thing about it for Kyle Anderson is this, though, is that his per 36-minute averages, he's not a high-usage guy. He's a secondary playmaker, a guy who has the ability to get the ball moving and on the fast break, also can offer some decent finishing ability, but of course, as we all know, he's more of a half-court type player with his athletic limitations. So for per 36 minutes, Kyle Anderson actually did, quantity-wise, have one of the better seasons of his career. He had the best scoring rate per 36 minutes in his career, as well as the best rebounding and assist rate. But that's quantity. That was because there were more possessions that per the 36-minute scale that Kyle Anderson played. In terms of the actual quality of his play, Kyle Anderson was right in line with what he had provided in the past. That was a good, skilled defensive player who offered some playmaking ability on offense, but not a lot of other things outside of rebounding and assists. And of course, that's the thing about Kyle Anderson, is that that's how he fits into a team. Again, high IQ, good defensive potential, playmaking ability. The thing about it is that the Grizzlies themselves, while they do have a need for those things, that's just not the preferences in Taylor Jenkins' system. And because of that, as the season went along, and Kyle Anderson would play more, tried to make it work in Taylor Jenkins' system, it became more and more obvious that he was an odd fit for a system. If you want any better validation, throughout the whole season, despite injuries and starts and things such as that, that Kyle Anderson was involved, despite playing 1,330 minutes this season, It was actually minutes in a scrimmage that got people excited about Kyle Anderson. What I'm talking about is that in the scrimmages that happened before the bubble, Kyle Anderson showed the ability coming off that training camp before the bubble. He showed what we hoped was a new part of his skill set, the ability to shoot the catch and shoot three. He offered a lot of opportunity. He got several opportunities and converted quite a bit of them. It was going to be a very nice addition to his game that was going to be highly valuable. Me and Mark King talked about it before the bubble started. Unfortunately, once the play of the bubble started, that went away. We were hoping that it would be there for De'Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson both. Neither one of those guys provided the opportunity that we had hoped, and therefore they were the same type of players that they had been before the suspension. As we've always stated, Kyle Anderson is a very valuable player. But in Taylor Jenkins' system, in which it's set up predicated on playmaking, shooting, and going in a fast pace, he is a very odd fit. The reason why is because the Grizzlies already have multiple preferred options that you could see from how Taylor Jenkins did his rotations for where Kyle Anderson fits. In the front court, you've got Jonas Valanciunas, Brandon Clark, and Jaren Jackson Jr. All of those guys are more productive and make more sense for what Taylor Jenkins is trying to do. On the wings, you've got Justice Winslow, Dylan Brooks, and Grayson Allen, Obviously, all of those guys are very, very good, or have much more scoring potential, both shooting, getting to the rim, as well as providing some decent defensive play. And of course, playmaking ability, you've got Ja Morant, and you've got Tyus Jones. So I've named eight players who the Grizzlies already have in place for multiple years into the future that are better fits and more preferred, it seems, in Taylor Jenkins' system. Now you look at De'Anthony Melton, who likely is going to be more preferred due to the fact that he's younger. He's a very skilled perimeter playmaker on defense, is good in transition, and also, you know, as I stated, being younger, he has more potential. There may be a higher ceiling, more untapped potential with him than with Kyle Anderson. So a big reason why I bring those other players up is that, yes, no one is denying Kyle Anderson offers value. But how much does that value matter in Taylor Jenkins' system? Well, for a player that is owed nearly $17 to $18 million over the next 2 years, basically being the ninth or tenth guy at best, the ninth or tenth preferred option in the rotation going forward over the next 2 years, that's not an ideal fit. And a big reason why is because Kyle Anderson just does not offer any real scoring ability. He played 1,330 minutes this season. We know he doesn't offer a lot of playmaking ability, so the hope would be is that he would offer catch-and-shoot opportunities. Well, in 1,330 minutes this season, Kyle Anderson shot 77 catch-and-shoot opportunities. From the field, he made 45% of those, and mostly in the two-point area, but he shot 85 threes this year. 68 of them were on catch-and-shoot opportunities, and he only made 30% of them. So Kyle Anderson just does not add any value. As a matter of fact, he is a detriment to the offensive game plan and scheme for the Grizzlies if he's not shooting in the lane. The Grizzlies already have that as a strength. Overall, Kyle Anderson, again, you know, value is added when he's on the court. You see his name a lot of times. We mentioned before, you see his name in a lot of the Grizzlies' best lineups, but that's because his IQ and his efficiency in defensive play against bench units is very, very productive. However, that likely is better on another team. Instead of being a playmaker on a team like the Grizzlies, who get a lot of their success through other playmaking options, but don't have a lot of self-sufficient scoring options, Kyle Anderson likely would fit better on another team with self-sufficient scoring options, as a guy who could set up teams that have several good spot-up shooters and have several scoring options and can also provide defense. So what I'm getting at is that Kyle Anderson, there's a good chance that he's going to be on the Grizzlies next season, and that's perfectly fine. Taylor Jenkins will find some way to utilize him. But it seems as if Kyle Anderson also could be an attractive trade piece, potentially, for a contender. One that slows the pace of play a little bit, focuses on defense, also needs a secondary playmaker in their second unit to provide, you know, a consistent offensive flow. Kyle Anderson likely fits in that type of scheme more than he does the Grizzlies. So all in all, it's a good chance Kyle Anderson will be again a part of the Grizzlies' a bench unit. And you add him to Grayson Allen, Brandon Clark, Tyus Jones, he could be a big reason why the Grizzlies bench next season is, again, a very big advantage for the Grizzlies, one of the biggest advantages that they offer. But you also saw this season that Kyle Anderson, because he is one of the last remaining pieces from the old regime, you could also see him being expendable. And I think at the end of the day, the Grizzlies might find ways to potentially use his salary and matching opportunities to bring in more assets, or perhaps in a trade for a more attractive piece that fits Taylor Jenkins' system. Kyle Anderson can offer plenty of value for the Grizzlies and a lot of teams in the NBA. It just seems now more than ever that's going to be elsewhere instead of in Memphis. We're going to take our last break, and when we come back, we're going to look into the player that emerged the most in the bubble, added the most value, in my opinion, of any Grizzlies player. This player added the most value to their future with the Grizzlies due to his play in the bubble. We'll be right back. In the summer of 2019, there were plenty of dates, as I mentioned several times on the podcast before, that will be likely be remembered, you know, in the history of the Grizzlies. You know, obviously you've got the night of the lottery when the Grizzlies won the second pick. You've got obviously the NBA draft, the day that they signed Jonas Valanciunas, but perhaps the most memorable, it's going to be hard to beat the night of the draft, but what allowed for the draft to be even more memorable besides drafting Ja Morant was what occurred a few days earlier, which was on June 19th of 2019. That was the day that the Grizzlies traded Mike Conley to the Utah Jazz. And in return, the Grizzlies got five pieces. They got the Jazz's first-round pick in 2019, a future first with conditions from the Jazz, and three players. They got Jay Crowder, Kyle Korver, and Grayson Allen. Well, immediately, if you were to rank those assets, four of them clearly became valuable as the season went along, while another kind of, you know, dragged behind, I guess. It kind of didn't seem to be that valuable of an asset. You know, of course, the most valuable one is the pick that led to Brandon Clark. Kyle Korver led to D'Anthony Melton, Josh Jackson, and two second-round picks. Jay Crowder was a veteran presence for the Grizzlies, a great addition to the starting success this season, just a great piece for the culture and mentor for a lot of young players, who was eventually traded for Justice Winslow, who's considered to be a significant future piece for the Grizzlies. And then, of course, the future first that we have that could be very valuable depending on where Utah is. Well, the fifth part of that trade was Grayson Allen, former first-round pick of the Utah Jazz, a player who the Grizzlies brought in to be a part of their rotation. They went ahead and picked up his third-year option before the season started. Obviously, things did not get off to a great start. The one thing from the summer that Grayson Allen immediately reminded people of was the risk that comes with him due to his, you know, playing style, personality, whatever it may be. Of course, there was the fight with Grant Williams during the summer league that stood out, and a lot of people were thinking, you know, here we go again. Well, going into the season, Grayson Allen had a place in the Grizzlies' rotation. He did play extended minutes off the bench to begin the season, and overall his play was decent. For the season, Grayson Allen played in 38 games, averaged nearly 19 minutes per game, shot nearly 47% from the field compared to nearly 38% his rookie season. From three, he shot 40% while averaging nearly 4 threes per game. That was an improvement from 32% from his rookie season. 8.7 points, 1.4 assists, 2.2 rebounds. That was his overall contributions. But to begin the season, Grayson was more of a 8th or 9th guy off the bench, would play, make hustle plays, decent defense, could add a shot here or two on offense type player. Not a lot of identifiable value, but he did give effort, and you know, he didn't really take anything away from you. He added some value when he was on the court. Well, as time went on and the season began to progress, Grayson kind of stepped back just a bit as other options emerged. When the Grizzlies had their injuries to start December, in a spot that Grayson Allen could have stepped up, it was instead D'Anthony Melton and Tyus Jones who came into the fold. Tyus got back on track. D'Anthony Melton emerged as a clear option over Grayson. And while Grayson was still continuing to play, he now had seen himself lower on the hierarchy. The Grizzlies basically had Ja Morant, Tyus Jones, D'Anthony Melton, and Dylan Brooks as the first four guards in their rotation, while Grayson was towards the end of the bench. Well, as time went on and the Grizzlies season kind of took off December into January, Grayson still was playing, you know, 10 to 15 minutes a night, but it wasn't really in a meaningful spot in the rotation. And then, of course, come January 24th, he has his hip injury, and he's potentially out for the rest of the season. So he's out through this when the season was suspended, you know, on March 11th. And there was a lot of speculation, you know, hey, he's got 2 years left on his contract. The Grizzlies have played well. He's kind of a forgotten man, especially with the acquisition now of Justice Winslow, who was going to take more minutes on the perimeter and possibly as a secondary playmaker, minutes that could have gone to Grayson. Well, as the stuff was ramping back up for the season to begin, and the Grizzlies were getting players back from injury, including Justice Winslow, including Brandon Clark, including Jaren Jackson Jr., someone that was not talked about but did come into the fold and was healthy again was Grayson Allen. And there were several snippets of information and media sessions where you could tell that Grayson had matured. He had embraced the city of Memphis. He had stayed out of trouble. There had been no issues since last summer. There was a lot of off-the-court maturity, it seemed, with Grayson, but his fit on the court still remained in question. Of course, the injury to Justice Winslow then occurred before the bubble. So a lot of people were thinking, okay, so this means Kyle Anderson's going to have to step up in the starting unit. De'Anthony Melton becomes, again, another primary option off the bench. That's kind of how the rotations will have to adjust. Well, the thing is that somebody did step up, but it was not who you would expect. It was not Anderson. It was not De'Anthony Melton. It was Grayson Allen. And the reason why he stepped up was because his skill set met the need of the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies in the bubble against more talented teams were going to have to find another way to score as these more talented teams packed the paint and kept the Grizzlies from their strengths, which was producing in the paint and at the rim. The Grizzlies didn't really have an outside shooting option outside of Jaren Jackson Jr., but lo and behold, here comes Grayson Allen to fit that role. As I stated on the season, Grayson Allen really improved in a lot of different areas, including his shooting and his scoring rate. Well, a big reason why that was because of how much he emerged in the bubble. From July 30th through the end of the regular season, which basically was a span of 3 weeks, Grayson Allen, of all reserves in the bubble, He was fourth in points scored among all reserves of the 22 teams that were in the bubble. He also made the third highest amount of threes in the bubble as well. If there was a sixth man voting for Grayson Allen or for, you know, players in the bubble, if there was a sixth man award in the bubble, Grayson Allen probably would have been a top three player. That's how well he performed. And the reason why it stood out so much was not only it was for several reasons. For one, we learned just how important Tyus Jones was. We learned that with Tyus, a lot of our players, Josh Jackson, Kyle Anderson, De'Anthony Melton, others, Brandon Clark even, the efficiency and play of Tyus Jones helped them play better. But without him, Melton, Anderson, others, they struggled. But Grayson Allen was able to still play well because of his intelligence and also because of his excellent awareness on the perimeter, getting open for spot-up threes and shooting them. So he was the one player who showed that he could still be highly productive without Tyus Jones. The other aspect of Grayson Allen that really stood out was what he brought to the table. And that was something that had been missing from the Grizzlies besides Jaren Jackson Jr., consistent perimeter shooting. For his career so far through 2 years, Grayson Allen actually has been a highly productive three-point shooter. He is one of the Grizzlies' best spot catch-and-shoot three-point options on the season. Grayson Allen he was fifth on the Grizzlies in catch-and-shoot opportunities, 114 opportunities, but he made nearly 45% of those shots and also had the highest effective field goal percentage of any of the Grizzlies who shot frequently from catch-and-shoot opportunities. We've talked about the fact that the Grizzlies lack a lot of shooting talent individually. So to make up for that, they've had to use their playmaking, their very good ability, their elite passing ability as a team to open up opportunities. Well, again, besides Jaren Jackson Jr., Grayson Allen emerged as this team's best option, not only because he can be productive from catch-and-shoot opportunities, but also where he can shoot He's highly effective around the entire perimeter, but especially in the corner, where as Ja Morant and our playmakers go into the lane and then they need to look for a pass if the lane is crowded, their momentum has taken them to a corner. Grayson Allen, with his intelligence, can get open in that corner, and he can shoot threes, and he's highly effective from there. He was in the 98th percentile of all guards on shooting opportunities from three. He made 54% of his threes from the corner this year for Memphis. So not only did Grayson Allen show that he could produce without Tyus Jones, which was a big difference and a positive difference from a lot of other Grizzlies options off the bench, he also provided that shooting element as well. So with Grayson Allen's play and his emergence, he is the one player who really has added the most value to his future with the Grizzlies, I feel. Now, with his shooting ability, Brandon Clark's ability in the post, and Tyus Jones' efficiency and just his ability to, you know, be the floor general for the second unit, the Grizzlies have an awesome trio of players that will continue to allow for their bench to not only support the starters, but be a clear advantage for this team on their path back to contention against anybody in the NBA. And the other thing that Grayson has done with multiple years of control left, it's a good situation to see happen. DeAnthony Melton, you could see him potentially leave or head elsewhere due to restricted free agency. While it would be great to have him back, now with Grayson Allen and his shooting ability and his ability to step up against talented teams, the Grizzlies know that if DeAnthony Melton leaves, they've got Grayson Allen who could step right into his role. So if any player from the bubble who really emerged and made himself a significant part of the Grizzlies' future, Grayson Allen by far stands out as the one that did it the most, not only because of his ability on the court, but also because of his ability or because of the way that he has handled himself off the court. I feel when you look at the entire NBA, there are very few players, if any, who added more value to their career than Grayson Allen did in the bubble. And for that reason, I think he has truly emerged as a priority for the Grizzlies going forward and will be a part of an excellent bench unit that will continue to be advantage for Memphis. Thank you so much for taking time to join us today. Tomorrow, we will get into some of the more, you know, known names. Some of the names that have been discussed highly. How did they fit with the Grizzlies this year? Did they play themselves into being a long-term option? We'll get in some of those names tomorrow. Again, today, discussed Anthony Tolliver, discussed Kyle Anderson, discussed Grayson Allen. Tolliver and Anderson probably have played themselves into a position to where they could be more seen as expendable than being a true long-term piece, while Grayson Allen certainly emerged as a long-term piece. Again, you can find myself at StatsSAC, find the show at Locked On Grizz, and you can find our podcast anywhere where podcasts are, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Until we talk to you again, have a great end to your week, and we'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.